You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government released the findings of the inquiry into abuse in care that was established in 2018. This inquiry was established to investigate abuse in faith and state-based care from 1950 to 1999. Māori, Pacific and disabled rangatahi were all overrepresented in this report. Now people are asking what to expect next. There is evidence abuse in state care remains ongoing, while the government has promised an official apology and redress scheme. I spoke to the University of Auckland's Stephen Winter about the report, how it compares to international standards, and what we can expect to come next as a result of the report. Can you summarise what was revealed by the abuse in state care inquiry?
No. You're talking about 50 years of history across, I don't know how many government departments, you know, to change their names and their formats over those 50 years, plus faith-based institutions that range from things like the Catholic Church to, you know, smaller, smaller organizations like the Exclusive Brethren, and, you know, the type of people coming into care, not only, you know, we're talking about small children, but also adults who are, you know, maybe with disabilities or other reasons to be in care. You were talking about a kaleidoscope of places, times, peoples, and situations.
What were some of the key recommendations from the report?
Okay. So the final report has 138 recommendations, and it's probably important to note that a good tranche of those recommendations pertain to the 95 recommendations provided in the report's 2021, December 2021 report in on redress. Okay, so that's one sort of large family of recommendations concern how state and faith-based organizations should proceed to provide redress. Then there's another group of recommendations that concern the transformation of the care system going forward, moving from one in which the state takes direct care of people and to a much more devolved system where community and iwi and other organizations would have primary care for some people. And then they would be the care organizations. One of the real stresses in that space for the Royal Commission is that out-of-home care should be an exception. It should be, it shouldn't happen. And if it does absolutely need to happen, it should be short-term. The best place for people to be cared for is with their whānau. And then, so the state's job in that space would be ultimately, there's a sort of a transition process mapped out by the Royal Commission, where the sort of ultimate end goal is a new state agency. It's independent of other ministries. This new state agency is called the State Care Agency. And that state care agency would have overall responsibility for the domain of care. And their job would be setting care standards, strategic recruitment of personnel, training of personnel, monitoring different organizations, both at the individual level and at the macro level, and ensuring the sort of what might call the strategic malfunctioning of the whole care system, but not taking, but not having care of any particular thing. And the response, you know, this is a sort of whole of system revolution that's mapped out here that would replace what the commission currently describes as a very siloed approach where, you know, that some kids are subject to, not just kids, but people in care, but many of them are children, different regulations according to the place in which they're in care. You know, so if it's different, if you're in a, let's say, a school that's run by the Ministry of Education, then if you're in an Arangatamariki Youth Residential Service, or if you're in a, in the care of the Catholic or Anglican Church, you know, then so the idea here is that instead of a medieval patchwork of regulations and institutions, there would be highly devolved, local, variable, and flexible care situations, but to be subject to a single overarching unified regulatory process.
Given the context of boot camps beginning this week, how can the state prevent this from continuing to happen?
Well, they don't run a boot camp. That would be one way to do it. You know, it's the state that's running the camp. the Royal Commission is it doesn't pull any punches, but saying the previous experiments with these sorts of institutions have been unmitigated failures that have led to horrific situations of abuse and neglect. The government has said that this will not happen again, but I think that many people are looking at these and sort of going, well, you know, this seems to be an inconsistency between what the government is saying about sort of a military-style discipline, and on one hand, and you know, some of the material they've published on the other, that has a much more sort of more holistic, more restorative framework. So it's uncertain, I think, until we see the thing in actuality, what this really will be. But I think people are very, I think one thing that the Royal Commission has done here is that, whereas these previous camps had sort of operated out of sight and out of mind, I think a lot of us were paying a great deal attention to what's going on in this latest iteration.
And how can the state support and compensate survivors for what has happened?
Yeah, so that's a huge question. And as I said to you, the Royal Commission's, one of the big domains of its recommendations pertain to redress. It's really important to note that, redress is not just about monetary payments. If it was, it might be a little bit easier. But, we're talking about, the redress of not only the experience of abuse and care, but also the remedy of systems of redress that have been systemically injurious in themselves for the past 20 years. And so much of what people like myself are talking about and are is trying to generate a independent, survivor-led, and flexible process for those seeking redress so they can get, sort of what they need out of their redress journey at the time they need it, and in the way, in the places they need it from the people that they need it. And so a program that was survivor-led, both in the sense of, survivors taking charge of their own redress journeys, but also working with organizations that are themselves survivor-led in terms of the provision of services, including monetary payments.
You've also studied abuse in faith-based care in other places. How does Aotearoa compare?
There's lots of different ways in which you might run that comparison. And so I would say that we're quite a bit behind many other jurisdictions in a couple of different ways. So the obvious one is in terms of the monetary value of payments, which here in Aotearoa have been comparatively very low. If you look at some of the averages that are emerging in the Australian National Redress Scheme, for example, the payments made in New Zealand are I'm trying to do math here in my head here, around 17%, ballparking. And similarly, in the new Scottish program, where the average payments are sort of closer to £100,000, that's not quite right. I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but, wouldn't be hard to find them. And so we're here in New Zealand, we're talking about sort of payments at around $20,000. And that number hasn't changed over the past, say, 20 years. And so, with inflation, that $20,000 is not worth what it was when those payments first started being made in the early years of the millennium. But more, just as importantly in terms of the payments, things like, apologies. We've seen stand-up apologies by prime ministers and first ministers and Taoiseachs, that's the prime minister of Ireland, by the way, internationally. But we haven't seen anything of the kind here in New Zealand. We can look forward to, Christopher Luxon tells us, we can look forward to an apology on the 12th of November. And I think people will be really watching to see how that plays out, not only in terms of what's said on the day, but also in terms of the commitments that the government makes in and around that. I think a lot of people will be looking for more than just a nice speech. So those are two things that, you know, when we look at sort of Aotearoa compared to other jurisdictions, there is, you know, sort of marked difference in terms of what's been developed.
That was the University of Auckland's Stephen Winter on the Abuse and Care Inquiry Report.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.